Well, when it comes to slander, I think that the place that we really have to begin when we look at this subject is just with a confession of our own hearts. I mean, who of us could say that we have never slandered anybody in our lives? I can't. Can anybody here say that? I don't think we can. So I think that if we're honest within ourselves and with God, we just have to admit that we've each been guilty of that. Well, what is slander? How would we define it? Who wants to throw out a definition?
Tearing one down.
Okay, tearing one down.
Saying something about someone you don't even know if it's true, but just passing it on.
Good. Okay. Anything else? Well, I did took a look at some different sources for definition, and what I found was making a false statement, damaging a person's reputation. I like what Joanne said, tearing a person down. That kind of sums that up. Number two, the utterance of false charges, which Ginny was talking about, or misrepresentations which defame and damage another's reputation. Or three, spreading scandal about. Four, just simply telling lies about. But number five, I got this off of Bible Study Tools online, and I thought this was really good because it said a false charge, but it may be a truth, circulated insidiously, meaning subtly but harmfully and with hostile purposes. So it could be a truth, but it depends on how we present it, that it might be presented with a motive that, well, it's true, but we make it look a little bit different than the truth. Synonyms would be defame, blacken someone's name, smear, or just tarnish someone's reputation. Well, let's look at a couple passages pertaining to slander. Look at Proverbs 16 with me. Proverbs 16 and 27 and 28. We've got some word pictures, and I love word pictures in God's Word. Proverbs is full of them. So would somebody read Proverbs 16, 27, and 28 when you find it? And excuse me for the bending down to drink water. I wouldn't be doing this if I didn't have a sore throat.
An ungodly man digs up evil, and it is on his lips like a burning fire. A perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends.
Thank you, Jenny. So we see in verse 27 the intent or the motive of slander. The word pictures in this verse are really articulate. First, we see that an ungodly man is doing what? He's digging up evil. In other words, his motive is he's looking for something. It's not on the surface, but he's kind of digging. He's seeking it out. He's searching to find something that isn't right there and obvious. And then secondly, we have the word picture that it's on his lips like what?
Burning fire.
Burning fire is very destructive, we know. So in verse 28, then we read that a perverse man, he sows strife, and a dishonest man spreads strife. Kind of means that same thing there. And then it ends with a whisper separates what? The best of friends. Here we have this word picture of two very, very close friends. I don't want to read too much into it, but I think these could be considered lifelong friends. They've been friends for years and years and years. And a whisper comes along with a slanderous intent. And what does he do? He severs that relationship. He severs that friendship that has been going on for years. Well, turn with me to 2 Corinthians 12:20, because Paul was concerned about this very thing in the New Testament church. 2 Corinthians 12:20. And if somebody would read that, that'd be great.
"For I fear, lest I come, I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as ye would not. Lest there be debates, envying, wrath, strife, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, tumults."
Thank you, Joanne. So do you see here, Paul was addressing the Corinthian church, and notice we have that same form of whisperings. whisperings. If whisperings or slander can separate the best of friends, like Proverbs says, what would it do to a church? What could it do?
Divide.
Right, just tear it apart. Just destroy it.
That's
so Paul stated that, you know, he was afraid that this could happen. He could find this among the believers when he got there. He was very concerned because he knew that it had destructive powers. So slander shouldn't characterize older women, but really it shouldn't characterize any believer, any stage of life, male or female. It's so destructive. Let's look at number 16 in the Old Testament. What a very sobering chapter number 16 is. Because we're going to see not only one incident of slander, but we're going to see two incidents of slander here. And rather than us go through the whole chapter of number 16, I'm going to ask certain ones of you to take certain verses. We'll just kind of cluster some verses, and we'll read just one after the other. Who would do verses 1 through 3? Okay, Mary. And then who would read 8 through 11 after Mary? 8 through 11? Joanne, would you?
Okay. I was struggling the last time. I have more contacts for 10 days.
Oh.
And now I'm trying to adjust.
Okay, Ginny said she'll
Thank
take
you.
8 through 11. Who would take 12 through 14? Judy, thanks. And then Marion, would you take 20 through 22? And then how about 28 through 32? Who would read 28 through 32? Okay, Dot, and when you're done reading 32, if you would jump also to 35 and read 35. And then I need one last person to read 41 to 49. Who would read 41 to Bonnie? Thank you. So we'll just read one right after the other in number 16.
Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan, and Abiram, the son of Eli, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, Ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift you up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord.
Then Moses said to Korah, Hear now, you sons of Levi, it is a small thing to you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself, to do the work of the tabernacle of the Lord, and to stand before the congregation to serve them, and that he has brought you near to himself, you and all your brethren, the sons of Levi, with you. And are you seeking the priesthood also? Therefore you and all your company are gathered together against the Lord. And what is Aaron that you complain against him?
And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, who said, We will not come up. Is it a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of the land that floweth with milk and honey, to kill us in the wilderness, except thou make thyself altogether a prince over us? Moreover, thou hast not brought us into a land that flows with milk and honey, or given us inheritance of fields and vineyards. Wilt thou put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up.
20, yes.
28?
Oh, no, we're at 20 to 22.
22.
You had that one.
The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, Separate yourselves from this assembly so I can put an end to them at once. But Moses and Aaron fell face down and cried out, O God, God of the spirits of all mankind, will you be angry with the entire assembly when only one man sins?
And Moses said, Hereby ye shall know that the Lord has sent me to all those works, for I have not done them of my own mind. Mm-hmm. And if these men die the common death of all men, and if they are visited
after the visitation and all men, and then the Lord shall not send me. But in the Lord may a new thing and the earth open his mouth and swallow them up with all that apparent unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, and then shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord, and in came a pass as he had made, and then speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder and was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appeared unto Korah, and all those goods. And 35, and there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed 250 men that offered incense.
Thank you. And then 41 to 49.
But on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, "You have killed the people of the Lord." And it came to pass, when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron, that they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, a cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. And Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation, and the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, "Get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment." And they fell on their faces. And Moses said unto Aaron, "Take a censer and put fire therein from off the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly unto the congregation, and make an atonement for them. For there is wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague is begun." And Aaron took as Moses commanded, and ran into the midst of the congregation, and behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put on incense and made an atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. Now they that died in the plague were 14,700, beside them that died about the matter of Korah.
Thank you, Bonnie. And thank you for each of you that read there. So in chapter 16, we have two incidents, one right after the other, of how God dealt with slander. In the first incident, we have the first three clusters of verses 1 through 14. Korah, Dathan, Abiram, and others with them, they rose up against Moses, against Aaron. And in verse 11, Moses asked Korah, "What is Aaron that you complain against him?" And then in verse 13 and 14, Dathan and Abiram accuse Moses of bringing of several things here. I mean, let's look at 12 through 14. First, they accuse Moses of bringing the Israelites into the wilderness to do what to them?
Kill them.
Right, to kill them. Now, if you look at the end of the chapter, where Aaron and Moses are down on their faces begging for God to have mercy on the children of Israel, was that Aaron's and Moses' motive to kill the people? No. I mean, it's totally just blown out of proportion and just false. And then we also see that they accused Moses of acting like a what? What's that word that they call him? Are you going to act like a, over us? A prince? You know, are you going to act like a prince? In other words, you've put yourself in this position of authority, Moses. It's not God ordained. And, sorry, I lost my track train of thought there, just watching the little guy. They accused Moses of usurping authority from God, of putting himself over as a prince. And then not only were these three men rising up against Aaron and Moses with slander, but they spread their slander among who? What does verse 1 say they did? The very end of verse 1. It wasn't just these three men, but it was also what? Right. It says they took men, right? They took men. And then look at verse 2. Well, what kind of men did they take?
They were leaders.
Right. They took the leaders. So these three men influenced the leaders, 250 men that were respected. It says they were renowned. In other words, these 250 were men that people looked up to. They were respectable men, leadership men. And a little leaven does what? 11's the whole lump. These three men brought down 250 men, and then we're going to see how they affected the whole of the Israelites. So in verse clusters 20 to 22, 28 to 32, and 35, we see how did God respond? Was this something light with God? Was slander just something that, well, it's not that big of a deal? No, God looked at that with great displeasure. What were you saying, Bonnie?
He was going to kill them all.
Right. God looked at this and he's like, I'm just wiping everybody out. So in verses 41 now and through 49, we see that the congregation didn't get a hold of this lesson, right? There's this example. God swallows up, you know, the three men and all their belongings. And the next day, what happens? All of Israel starts griping and complaining again and slandering Moses and Aaron. They say, you've killed what? What did they accuse Moses and Aaron of?
Killing the people.
They're like, you killed them. Was that true? Who had caused the ground to open up?
God did.
And who had sent the fire to consume the 250 men? God did. And they're saying to Moses and Aaron, you killed them. Well, couldn't Moses and Aaron have opened up the ground or sent fire down on them? But the sad thing to me was just as I looked at Moses and Aaron and how they got down on their faces before God, and then Moses is like, quick, take the censer, make atonement for the people. And Aaron goes running through the people with this censer to try to stop the plague. And here the people had no understanding that not only, you know, was Moses' motives right, he cared for the people, Aaron did too. This was a team that God had ordained, and yet they spoke so slanderously. And it's just interesting to me, looking at this chapter, that, you know, there's times when a person or an individual, there is really nothing at all, you would think, that a person could levy against them or their character. But what? People can... Right, just make up, manufacture. Yes, Sharon?
Nancy, I'm thinking of Daniel's life.
Mm. Yes.
I mean, you couldn't get more godly than Daniel. And look, they had to really dredge, try to... They finally made up things
right.
about him.
Right, they very much manipulated the circumstances to get... Yes, to get Daniel in the lion's den. I think of Joseph, too. Who slandered against Joseph?
Something.
Okay, first was his family, his brothers. They went back to the dad. Well, it looks like an animal got a hold of him. He's dead. But then we had Potiphar's wife, too, slandering against Joseph. And where did it land them?
In jail.
In jail. So, you know, sometimes we think slander isn't that bad. But if we really take a good look at it, we can see it has devastating repercussions. And our Lord was falsely accused too. Look at Matthew 11:19. Matthew 11:19. And would somebody read that for us?
And the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and wine-bibbing, and a friend of publicans and sinners, but wisdom is justified to her children.
Thank you, Dot. So what did they accuse Jesus of being?
Glutton.
Right, a glutton and what else?
Wine-bibber.
Right, a drunkard. A glutton and a drunkard, our Lord was accused of. Look, too, at Matthew 27:62-63. Jesus was still being slandered after he was already in the grave. Matthew 27, and would somebody read 62 and 63?
Now on the next day, which is the one after the preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered together with Pilate and said, Sir, we remember that when he was still alive, that deceiver said, after 3 days, I am to rise again.
Thank you, Sharon. So what was the name Jesus was called?
Deceiver.
A deceiver. Jesus was the one who said, I am the way, the what? the truth and the life. And here, even in his death, he's being slandered, and they're saying, oh, this man was a deceiver. Let's take extra precautions here. They still wanted to accuse Jesus when he was in the grave. That is so sad. Another example of slander has to do with Paul in the New Testament. Let's take a look at Acts 24. And if somebody would read Acts 24, verses 1 through 9, just what happened to Paul, the slander that was levied at him. Acts 24, 1 through 9.
Now, after 5 days, Annas the high priest came down with the elders and a certain orator named Tertullus. These gave evidence to the governor against Paul. And when he was called upon, Tertullus began his accusation, saying, seeing that through you we enjoy great peace and prosperity is being brought to this nation by your foresight, we accept it always and in all places, most noble Felix, with all thankfulness. Nevertheless, not to be tedious to you any further, I beg you to hear by your courtesy a few words from us. For we have found this man a plague, a creator of dissension among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. He even tried to profane the temple, and we seized him and wanted to judge him according to our law. But the commander, Lysias, came by and with great violence took him out of our hands, commanding his accusers to come to you. By examining him yourself, you may ascertain all these things of which we accuse him. And the Jews also assented, maintaining that these things were so.
Thank you, Ginny. So look at verse 5 and 6. Boy, the punches that they took at Paul. What do we see? What did they call him?
Seditious.
Okay. A plague, a creator of dissension, a ringleader of a sect, and then that he had tried to do what to the temple?
Profane the temple.
And then in verse 9, again, as is often the case with slander, what happened? How did it affect? What was that, Aaron?
Everybody else agreed.
Yep. Everybody agreed. You know, they joined in. The Jews joined in the slander. A little leaven leavens a whole lump. And the slander wound up landing Paul in prison, didn't it? He wound up being in prison. Slander is so destructive. It's so damaging to a person, to their reputation. Well, let's take a look at a few verses pertaining to God's command about not being involved in slander. And again, I'd like to just have several of you just read the verses one after another. Would somebody read Leviticus 19:16? Leviticus 19:16. Mary? And then who would take Psalm 34:13? Psalm 34:13. Marian, thank you. And then after that, who would take Ephesians 4:31? Ephesians 4:31. Thank you, Julia. And then how about Colossians 3:8? Who would take Colossians 3:8? Bonnie, thank you. And then how about 1 Peter 3:10? 1 Peter 3:10. Who would take that? Aaron, thank you. And then lastly, James 4:11a. Who would take James 4:11a? Sharon, great. So we'll just read one right at. Well, actually, read your verse, pause a moment. I just have a comment, and then we'll go on to the next one. Leviticus 19:16.
I have that underlined.
Okay, good.
Thou shalt not go up and down as a tailbearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord.
Okay, thank you, Mary. So we see it's really clearly stated here that we are not to go around as talebearers or slanders against other people. How about Psalm 34:13?
Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies.
Okay, lies. There's a deceptive spirit with slander. And who is the father of all lies?
Satan.
How about Ephesians 4:31?
Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice.
Thank you, Joanne. So what are we supposed to do with it?
Put it away.
Put put it away. Put it away. Just remove it from our lives. Just get rid of it. Do some heart cleaning, right? And just get it out of there. How about Colossians 3:8?
But now you yourselves also put off all these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth.
Thank you, Bonnie. What's that verb phrase that we're supposed to do with it again?
Put it off.
Right, put it off. Get rid of it, just like the other verse. Take it off, take it away, get it out of our hearts. And then 1 Peter 3:10.
For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile.
Thank you, Aaron. I think of James, where our tongue is compared to, you know, you put those bits in a horse's mouth, and we really have to be intentional to restrain our tongues, to refrain when we have something that we'd like to share. And then James 4:11a, who had that?
I did.
Okay.
Do not speak against one another, brothers.
Thank you. I mean, we can't get any more plain and clear than that. Just don't speak against one another, brothers. Don't do it. So God has really strong feelings about slander. Let's take a look at Psalm 101:5a. This was kind of a sobering verse when I looked at it. Psalm 101:5a. David was penning this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And what does God say about slander?
Whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy.
Okay. Isn't that sobering? God is saying if we secretly slander our neighbor, he's going to do what?
Destroy.
He's going to destroy. Number 16, what was God going to do with the slander? He was going to go through and just destroy the people. So we need to see that we do serve a God of grace and mercy. And so if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. But we do want to see that sometimes we can jeopardize ourselves. In other words, we can just withdraw ourselves out from under the umbrella of God's blessing if we get involved in slander. So we need to be intentional about avoiding slander. In our books, turn with me to page 120. Nancy Lee DeMoss had 7 practical, and they were good, very good, practical things that we can apply to our lives when it comes to avoiding slander. And I'm just going to read them, 1, 2, 3, and a few of her highlighted comments. Number one, what does she say we can do? 7 practical helps to putting a halt to slander. Number one, she says, humble yourself. She says, breaking free of the diabolical grip of slander in your life begins with facing your own involvement, acknowledging that you have spoken falsely or passed along hurtful news. And then she says, confess, ask forgiveness, start with God, and rest in the forgiveness that he purchased for you. And then confess your slander to others. So I think that is a very practical point. And we need to start with just humbling ourselves. Have I slandered? Have I been involved in slander? And then we confess it to God and ask for forgiveness. And if necessary, confess it to others. I think that's interesting how she says, acknowledging that you have spoken falsely or passed along hurtful news. Did you get that? The second one isn't false. It's just hurtful news. Number two, what does she say?
Stop it.
Yeah, just stop it. And again, we looked at Ephesians 4:31. She talks about that putting away. And I thought this was a good point. Think how often our divisive words are fueled by a bitter spirit. She says to check your motivation. And I thought that was really good because, you know, there are times in our lives where we might be bitter at somebody who did us harm, who hurt us. And what do? We slander them back. Our slander is really fueled by our bitter spirit, our lack of forgiveness. And I think, too, sometimes we can fuel slander with other things, like jealousy. Wouldn't you say so? You know, you're jealous of another individual, so how can we take them down a peg to put us up a peg? So we need to check our motivation and just stop it, as Nancy Lee Moss says. How about number three? What's a practical point? Speak well of others. And I love this because often when somebody is dealing with a habit, something that an addictive habit, they need to take off that habit. But you're often told, quick, have that person, if you counsel them, have that person put something in its place. In other words, you set aside, but you got to put on. So if we're going to put off slander, what should we put in its place? Speaking well of others. And I just think that that was, you know, something very practical. She says here, perhaps the best way to curb our bent for picking at others' faults is simply to go out of our way to say what? Good things about them. Pay a compliment, she says. How much slander could we displace if we were more intentional about speaking words of grace and encouragement? You know, Jesus came and he was full of grace and truth. And if our words are motivated by grace instead of criticism or slander, then we'll find it easier to compliment people. But we really need to be intentional about that, speaking well of others. And she goes on at the end to just say, speak well of all. Just speak well of all. And that is something I have admired over the years. Sometimes I get frustrated over it, but I really do admire that about my husband. Somebody can do him in, and he is very careful not to return evil for evil, to not go and slander them. And I'm like, you know, aren't you even just going to let the truth be known? You know? No, God can take care of that. But I really appreciate that in him because we don't see that a lot. And I know I struggle. If somebody hurts me, then at least get the truth out, you know. And sometimes that's necessary. That's not to say that we just, you know, if there's something that needs to be brought out, then yes, we do. But we do it with a spirit of grace. Number four, what does she say? Right, rein in our thoughts. Why is that so important? Because where does slander start?
In the
heart. Right, it's in our heart and our thinking. And we think about it usually before we say it. Or let's say we should be thinking before we speak. And she mentions 2 Corinthians 10:5, where it tells us to take every thought captive to obedience to Christ. Romans 12:2, you know, we're to meditate on his word and be transformed in our minds, in our thinking. And I like this Psalm 19:14. Sometimes I'll pray this, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my God and my Redeemer, my rock and my Redeemer. In other words, it starts in the mind, it starts in the heart. So we really need to be asking God, help us to renew our thinking. And then number five, what does she suggest
talk
we do?
Less.
Talk less. That's right. Cut back on the quantity of our words, she says. Lessen the opportunity for temptation to slander. And that is really a good point. Again, I think the reason maybe it talks about the older women and slander is because, at least in our relationship, I'm the more talkative one, Andy's the more quiet one. And so sometimes there's, as it says right here in Proverbs 10:19, when there are many words, transgression is unavoidable. But he who restrains his lips is what?
Wise.
Is wise, right. So, you know, maybe we can just talk less, she says. And then number six, what did she suggest?
Think before you speak.
Right, and we mentioned that. Think before you speak. Don't have a quick and an eager tongue. And I must say, I have been guilty of that, and I'm not proud of it, that at times I have a quick and an eager tongue, and I don't think first that, hey, would it be better just to restrain my tongue? It would be. And lastly, what does she suggest? I think these are great. These are very practical points.
Don't even listen to it.
Right, don't even listen. If you go into a room and there's some talking going on, and you know that it's really, you know what, this is slander, you can try to steer the conversation another direction. Have you ever tried to do that? Just steer that in a different direction. But sometimes that isn't going to happen, and we just have to be in the spirit of meekness, just say, hey, should we really be talking about this? And maybe sometimes it might just take you need to get up and leave the room and go elsewhere. Because, yeah, we don't want to be drawn into it like happened in number 16, where it started with 3 men, then it went to 250 men, and then it went to all the children of Israel. So sometimes we just have to say, I'm not going to listen to this. I'm going to get up and I'm going to get out. Those are some wonderful, I thought, just wonderful tips that she shared. So again, number one, humble ourselves. Number two, stop speaking ill of others. Three, speak well of others. Four, control our thought patterns. Five, just talk less. And six, think before speaking. And then seven, just don't listen. And slander can come in many forms, can it? Can come in many forms. How about just raising a question? Did you hear what happened to fill in the blank? Isn't that the beginning of slander sometimes? It doesn't necessarily. I'm not saying it always is, but sometimes it's bait for slander. How about our tone of voice? I don't know about that. I just don't know about that. You know, what does that do? It shades. It just puts a little tarnish on that situation. How about just a raised eyebrow? No? Am I good at it? That's not a good thing. and name calling, you know, name calling. Or using the word everything all the time. Everybody. That's inclusive. My husband caught me in that the other day. And he said, you just use that like broad every time or all the time. And I thought of it, yeah, well, no, it isn't all the time, and it isn't everybody. So name-calling, that can be very dangerous and damaging slander. And then this one really stood out to me, a startling statement with a vague accusation. A startling statement with a vague accusation. Years ago, when we were enjoying a time of peace and things were going well with the church plant. I mean, this is a number of years ago. That's not to say things aren't going peaceful now. There I go.
Glad you clarified.
But we were visiting somebody, and they said, so-and-so said to us, you wouldn't believe what's going on down at that place. And when I heard that, I thought, well, what is going on at that place? And Andy and I talked about it, and I was like, well, wouldn't we know if there was something like really? But the tone that they said it in was almost as though there was like just hanky-panky immorality or just undercover type of. And you know, that was sad because I thought of old times, things are relatively going well. And yet, you know, whoever that had been said to, what did that put in their mind? And if they shared it with somebody else, and if they shared it with somebody else, how do we deal with the effects of slander in our own lives? Let's take a look at First Chronicles. I was sharing with Sharon, I was wanting to read First Chronicles. And I realized it started with genealogies. And I thought, you know what, we can just jump over a few chapters. But then I thought, no, I'm going to go through this. I'm going to persevere. And I was glad I did. We've probably all heard of Jabez, thanks to the book, right, about Jabez, the prayer of Jabez. But let's take a look at 1 Chronicles 4. And I'm going to read verses 9 and 10. These were great verses to find in the middle of dry genealogies. It says in 1 Chronicles 4, 9 and 10, now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. And his mother called him Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested. That is just a beautiful passage. Again, we said that slander is defined as making a false spoken statement damaging to a person's reputation. And Jabez in Hebrew, does anybody know what it means in Hebrew, that name? He makes sorrowful. Mm-hmm. He makes sorrowful. And we see here it's very clear that his mother gave him the name. His mother named him because of what?
Her pain
in childbirth. You know, most of the time we get beyond that very quickly. But because it was a very painful childbearing, she named him. He makes sorrowful. Jabez, as a grown man, felt what? He felt labeled, didn't he? He still had that burden on his heart that his mother had branded him with at birth. And I would say, really, his mother was intentional about the name she gave him. I would say that that was slander. If you really look, what is the definition of slander? Grown man, and he's still carrying the burden of what he was named with. I mean, how would you like to be given the name? What's your name? Pain? I cause pain. He will cause pain. Can you imagine? As soon as you introduce yourself to someone, you've got that negative, you're speaking negatively about yourself. So that's why he cried out to God. He cried out to God and he was, God, cast this label, cast this label off of me, this curse that I was given at birth. And what did God do? He did it. He granted him his request. And so I would say that if you are a recipient of painful slander, it might not be the name given to you at birth, but you've been involved in something where you have been slandered, that we should try to respond as Jabez did. Number one, he didn't get bitter, did he? He took it to God. He didn't get bitter. He was burdened down with it. He felt the weight of this name that he was called by, but he didn't get bitter. Secondly, forgive. Don't get bitter, but forgive. Third, appeal to God to break the power of the slander that has been put on your life. Appeal to God, because that's what he did. He went directly to God. He was like, God, this is my name. God, don't let me fulfill my name. And then, fourthly, rise above the slander as God hears your prayer and delivers you from its effect. And God can bless your life. Because who of us, when I first said Jabez, who of us thought pain? Well, we all thought, oh, the prayer of Jabez. I know Jabez prayed this like awesome prayer. So we look at Jabez now as what? In an honorable way? You know, we don't look at Jabez and say, oh, you know, yeah, he was the one whose mother called him. He's going to cause pain. We look at him and say, wow, he had this really neat prayer, and God answered the prayer, and he was a very honorable and godly man. Do you see how God can just take slander in our lives and reverse it? I about can speak two more sentences. My throat is just killing me. But Proverbs 31:26 says, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. And unlike Jabez's mother, we have that choice to make. We can be like Jabez's mother. I mean, she really branded him pretty difficult with that name. And some of you maybe were maybe not given a name that means that, but maybe throughout your life you were given a label. I hate labels. I'm sorry, but whether it might be true of a person or not, I really do not care for labels, because I feel like it puts on people that burden that you never can overcome, this label. And a lot of times, quite honestly, the labels are incorrect. But we can be like Jabez's mother. She spoke in a moment and she gave a curse to her son. Or we can pray that God makes us women who open our mouths with wisdom, and on our tongue is a law of kindness. In other words, our teaching is kindness. We speak the truth, but we speak it in love and we speak it in kindness. And may God help us as women to see the power of slander, but to use those seven practical points that Nancy shares in dealing with it. And then if you're a recipient of slander in your life, do what Jabez did. Don't get bitter. Forgive, appeal to God, and watch God break the bondage that you have been put under with that slander, and be free of it.